Welcome to our quarterly call. It is a pleasure to host you today in my first opportunity to engage with you after becoming CEO of Safilo 4 weeks ago. To start, I will share with you my motivation and very directionally what are our broad strategic choices going forward. Our CFO, Vincenzo Gianelli, will then take you through the details of this quarterly and this year's first 9 months results. At the end, he and I will answer your questions. As you know, I joined Safilo in summer 2012 as independent non-executive director of the board. I was motivated by my belief in the company's unusual combination of three edges. One, an extraordinary tradition of eyewear craft of next year 80 years, and a proven ability over the years to deserve the trust of the world's most prestigious global fashion houses. Second, an unusually passionate and resilient people shaped by an extraordinarily challenging recent years of turnaround. And third, Safilo's exceptional breadth of opportunities in terms of brands, geography, and operations, with a significant potential for overtime top and bottom line growth. During the last year, I accompanied the management team's key projects and challenges. When accepting the executive role, I did so with a long-term commitment to shape the start of Safilo's second 80 years. That is all about combining long-standing tradition with reinvention forward. My approach to such reinvention with continuity is shaped by my experiences today, core being superior product and service, strong values, systemic execution and simplification, and leadership and accountability for results. As you know, I have worked at Procter & Gamble and SAP, and am a non-executive director at IKEA. I have had local, regional, and global responsibilities of operational and strategic nature in different functional and general management roles across a variety of different countries. I was often charged with bringing entrepreneurial innovation to strategy and organization design to execute successfully turnaround. After these thoughts on my motivation, I'd like now to take a first broad directional look at our strategic choices forward. Naturally, those will get more specific in terms of plans and sequencing in the coming months. Importantly, I want to confirm that the four strategic pillars communicated in 2011 after Safilo's financial restructuring remain valid and are forward strengthened by three additional choices based on the learnings since. On the four pillars communicated at the time, let me recap. One, it's about a strong, well-balanced licensed brand portfolio. This is at the core of where we play. Our partnerships with our licensors are precious to us, and we take the trust they deposit in us with great sense of responsibility. This means that we internally need to continue to strengthen our ability to deliver with quality and reliability sustained results. Second, it remains about a developed proprietary brand portfolio. Polaroid, Carrera, Safilo, Smith Optics, and Oxido. The unique equity potential of those brands is not leveraged right now. What we need is brand building focus and clear plans with investments to feed these brands to produce the profitable growth and continuity they can represent for our business. Third, it is about the expansion of our geographical footprint, which within developed geographies like the US and Western Europe means expanded coverage into channels we are not fully present yet and a deeper penetration in the channels where we are present. For developing markets, it is naturally about consolidating and in some cases creating local operations. The fourth pillar was the execution of our manufacturing strategy of Made in Safilo, which is intended to be a flexible and efficient combination of the Made in Italy organization, Safilo's unique product propositions in Optil, and a higher capacity utilization of the group's plant in Suzhou, and the full leverage of Smith in Utah and Vail in Glasgow. Let me just add on this front that the Italian footprint is on the right track to reach higher levels of efficiencies and improved capacity utilization. This due to the significant pace of growth of our high-end brands and by the additional volumes coming from the new collections that are to be produced internally. As you know, manufacturing of the first Fendi collection starts now in quarter four, to be reaching the stores at the beginning of next year. We're also bringing inside other brands, like the more valuable collections of the brand Safilo. Now, to strengthen these four choices, it is key that we, one, refine our commercial strategy to differentiate how we go to market, matching the brand offerings to the specific shoppers of our trade partners. Those trade partners are very different. We have a broad set of independent customers that we cover directly or via designated distributors by geography. We also have big accounts and cross-regional global channels with whom we engage across geographies, building longer-term joint business plans and differentiating in terms of supply chain, co-marketing, and special assortment. There is learning in e-commerce with yet different go-to-market requirements. Safilo has further potential in the area of commercial strategy. Second, we have also learned that operational excellence must be a strategic choice in itself. This relates to two main things. One is the need to simplify significantly the way we work, so we create both full understanding and visibility of our flows. And two is to integrate ourselves globally using modern IT. I would call it e-enabled global integration. We are about to announce such a global transformation project. At the very technical level, this is about modernizing our fragmented IT systems. More fundamentally, though, it is about transforming ourselves from an international set of companies into an integrated one modern global company. This will naturally make us gain efficiency, data insight, and foresight to anticipate our business flow and therefore steer our business decision making. Third and finally, we have also realized that we must and very visibly put product design, quality, and innovation at the center of our company. This both for Sun and for Ophthalmic. We are our product, and continued related focus and investment are paramount. Based on all that I just laid out, I trust that you see that the progress of Safilo's turnaround will continue to proceed step by step with a mid-term sustainable view. Important is also to note for this to happen over quarters and years, systemic operational interventions are required beyond continued strong commercial heavy lifting. Those will be made. Every step on the way, we will continue to give you transparency on the results and their quality, the underlying choices, and their sequence. I look forward to our opportunities for further dialogue. To close these introductory remarks, and as Vincenzo now starts to present our third quarter and first 9 months results, I want to state that I consider the third quarter satisfactory, as we are about on track to deliver the year's core objective, which was to offset the loss of the Armani license using our wide portfolio, strong customer relationships, and commercial drive, while strengthening our gross and operating margins and focusing on strong cash flows. At the same time, our results also evidence the broader important opportunities that I have highlighted, which do remain valid for quarter four. Thank you very much, Vincenzo.
Thank you, Luisa. As you have just mentioned, Q3 results were very solid, and they allowed us to close the first 9 months in the best possible way, given that not all business drivers are in our favor this year. As expected, Forex was a significant headwind in the quarter, as all the main currencies depreciated against the euro. In Q3, this negative effect eroded 5.2% of our top-line year-on-year performance, 2.3% of the first 9 months sales. Before and on top of this year our big challenge, as you all know, has been the replacement of the terminated Armani licenses, and we are talking about some 100 million euro sales realized with the three brands, Giorgio, Emporio, and Armani Exchange, in the first 9 months of 2012, with the growth of our active go-forward brands and the development of Polaroid, an ability that the group has indeed demonstrated to have, as our nine-month total turnover at constant exchange rates was in line with last year business and up 2.9% in the third quarter. Our organic sales growth was in fact very significant in Q3 at the plus 17%. And as you may remember, we achieved a plus 11% in Q1 and +6% in Q2. So we regained speed in all the 3 months of the quarter, and the positive performance was pretty much widespread across brands and regions, although with a different magnitude. I will come back on this in a minute. All in all, our 9 month organic business performance, which I remind you is calculated on our core products, sun and prescription, excluding terminated brand sales, currency impact, and Polaroid in Q1 2013, was back to double digits from +8% in first half 2013 to +10%. Economic and financial results were on track with our expectations. In the quarter, we continued to see a recovery of our operating performance driven by the improvements achieved at the gross profit level. This, coupled with the drop of the net interest expenses, allowed us to return to a net profit in the third quarter of the year for the very first time since 2007. This result is even more meaningful if we consider that this is seasonally a small quarter, and the absorption of fixed cost is by definition more difficult, especially when you are investing in your selling and marketing activities. Finally, we got to an adjusted financial leverage of 1.5 times, which has not been seen for many years in this house, thanks to a better gross operating performance and a further decline of our net financial position. Working capital has been effectively managed, and its incidence on our rolling net sales declined at 22.4% at the end of September from 25.6% a year ago. I now would skip slide page 6, and I give you some additional comments on the key drivers of our organic sales growth. Q3 revenues at 243.4 million euro were up 2.9% at constant exchange rates, with the wholesale business up 2.6% and our Solstice store sales up 6.1%. The strong organic performance of +17% benefited both from volumes growth and improvement of the sales mix, I would say with an almost equal positive impact. All our core high-end licensed brands did well. Gucci and Dior first, then Boss and Marc Jacobs, all with high mid-single-digit or double-digit growth rates, but also brands like Celine and even more Jimmy Choo have been real outperformers. The diffusion brands arena has been progressing very fast, Tommy Hilfiger and Boss are at the top of the list, while Carrera has grown thanks to the ongoing expansion in the prescription frames business, combined with the good performance of the brand in the key accounts channel. I would also like to mention Polaroid and the contribution it is giving through its international expansion. We are working above all in countries like US, Brazil, and Mexico, as well in the travel retail channel worldwide, but also through a wider and more qualified presence in Europe, especially in the traditional sun markets. By region, the organic performance of the quarter has been a stronger follow-up of the first 6 months, with Europe being the top runner. In the slide, we indicate the reported performance at constant exchange rates, +7.7% in Europe, 1.7% in the Americas, and -3.5% in Asia. To give you an indication of our organic growth, Europe exceeded 25%, Asia almost 15%, and the Americas almost double digits. In our important emerging markets, we achieved an organic sales increase around 18%. Europe, excluding Italian small accounts, was all very positive. France, UK, and Germany continuing to outperform, but we saw encouraging signs of recovery also in Spain and Portugal. The North American market has been resilient for us during the quarter, up around 7% on an organic base. As you know, the competitive landscape is particularly challenging in the region, and U.S. consumer demand has remained pretty uncertain up to now. So, relative speaking, this can be considered a positive result from the region where we maintain a prudent stance. Two main trends in the quarter: a positive performance of the prescription frame business in our most important distribution channel in U.S., the Trios, the independent opticians channel, and an improvement of our sunglass business through the principal department stores. This was also evident in our Solstice stores, where like-for-like sales ended up 3.5% against a 1.4% in Q1 and -1% in Q2. LATAM was positive. Brazil and Mexico were both up high double digits in terms of organic growth, although they are not recording the strong surge seen last year, given the recent slowdown of growth in the local economies. Asia was overall positive, also thanks to the good performance of Japan, which has regained speed. China positive, travel retail strong, while Korea and Hong Kong were underperformance in the quarter. I would just like to remind you that the reported performance of Asia, like in the case of the Americas, was impacted quite importantly by the negative impact of Forex. In particular, in this area, Asia, the significant devaluation of the yen against euro. On top of that, the Armani brands had a relative greater importance for the business of the region. Moving now to page 8, to the drivers of our economic improvement. Again, Q3 has been characterized by a recovery at the gross profit level, with the margin getting at 59.5%, 180 basis points higher than last year. First 9 months, it stood at 61.4% of sales, 240 basis points higher than in the same period last year. Reasons of the quarterly progression are pretty much the same that explain our semi-annual results, namely efficiency in production and stock management, which translate in lower levels of obsolescence, growth of organic sales volumes, and positive sales mix effects. As seen in the previous periods, Q3 hosted a slightly higher amount of selling and marketing expenses, coherent with the investment activities we had planned for the year. This, together with stable general and administrative expenses, has again provided for the higher incidence of selling general and administrative expenses on reported sales, bringing the recovery at the gross operating level to 60 basis points. Q3 2013, EBITDA grew by 6.5% to 16.3 million euro, with a margin at 6.7% of sales compared to 6.1% in Q3 2012. The adjusted EBITDA for the first 9 months reached 88.7 million euro with a margin at 10.5% of sales, up 3.3% in absolute terms and 50 basis points margin-wise over the same period last year. Below the operating line, we had a series of positive effects, starting from the most important one, the drop of net interest expenses from 4.6 million to 1.8 million thanks to the group's repayment of the high-yield bonds occurred on May 15 this year. Net financial charges also benefited from the slightly positive impact of net exchange rate differences. On an adjusted basis, the tax rate for the first 9 months of 2013 stood at 36.3% compared to 39.2% for the same period of 2012. As we have already seen, we closed the quarter with a net profit of 1.7 million euro in black for the first time in the third quarter since 2007. In the first 9 months, we thus achieved an adjusted group net profit of 27.4 million, up 30.8% over the same period last year. Moving now to slide 9, to the free cash flow. The quarterly economic results and the cash inflows from working capital explained our cash generation from operating activities amounting in the third quarter to 29.8 million euro compared to 17.4 million euro of the third quarter of 2012. On a quarterly basis, cash for investing activities was substantially stable and enabled us to generate a positive free cash flow of 22.5 million euro versus 9.2 in the third quarter of 2012. Free cash flow for the first 9 months of this year amounted to an inflow of 33.9 million euro compared to 27.3 million for the same period of last year, before the cash outflow of euro 58.4 million last year related to the Polaroid acquisition. As I said at the beginning, net working capital has been effectively managed during the 9 months, and its incidence on our rolling net sales declined at 22.4% at the end of September from 25.6% a year ago. In terms of group net debt, after the drop recorded at the end of the first half, it decreased by some additional 20 million at the end of September, ending at 180.7 million euro. I want to remind you that it was equal to 215.3 at the end of December 2012 and 223.8 million at the end of September 2012. At the end of the period, our gross debt was standing at 258 million euro, down 4.8% compared to 271 million at the end of June. This was composed by 205 million of senior loan, with a revolving facility drawn for 180 million and 53 million of other lines. Therefore, we had some 120 million euro undrawn committed credit facilities still available, which combined with the 77 million euro cash, gives us a liquidity position of around 200 million euro. That would be all from me. Luisa and myself are now ready to take your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the number one on your telephone. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We will pause for a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal. And we can take our first question, which comes from Basil Chougoury of Berenberg.
Hello, three questions for me, please. The first one is on capacity utilization. Could you please give us your utilization rates and at the group level and maybe in China and Italy post the production of Fendi? The second question is on your sales to HAL. Could you give us a number on the absolute number and by how much it has increased this quarter, please? And the last one on the IT integration strategy, for how long do you expect it to land, and how much do you think that will cost at the group level, please? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your questions. For capacity, let me say, after the drop in volumes due to the termination of the Armani licenses, our capacity utilization, overall capacity utilization, went down. We were before that at around 65%. We are now between 50 and 55%. Of course, we are talking about technical capacity. So it's not about manpower, it's about technical capacity. Of course, with the volumes increase that will be a consequence of the startup of the Fendi license, we are confident to get very quick back to the capacity utilization we used to have in the past, and even more depending on the ramp up, on the success of the Fendi collections, and of course of all the rest of the initiatives and volumes. With reference to HAL, the quarter was flat. On the 9 months, we have a mid-single digit growth. We mean not HAL, sales to GVBV, which is not exactly HAL, even if it's not owned by HAL. But you have to consider that organic performance with this customer is very, very strong, because of course Armani was an important part of our sales last year. So flat or mid-single digit growth means very strong organic performance with all brands replacing Armani. In terms of IT, of course I cannot give you a number, but for sure it will be from 3 to 5 years plan. The most important part is the initial part from startup up to go live, and then we will have, of course, international rollouts. It will be part, of course, of our plan, but overall what we can tell you is that overall we think that our yearly capex should stay under the threshold of yearly depreciation, which is around 40 million euro, combining capex in manufacturing and capex into intangible assets, including IT. I don't know if I have addressed all your questions.
Yeah, just on coming back on the, what I call sales to HAL, I'm sorry. Just, I believe you have a closer relationship than you used to have in the past, and I was wondering how do you have a view on the inventories they have in their retail channel?
Interesting. Let me first address the relationship with HAL and to confirm that the nature and scope of our relationship with our reference shareholder HAL has not really changed. HAL remains a shareholder who takes the longer term view and is consistently focused on solid capability build-up and also trusts transparent engagement with the management team via the board of directors. Naturally, HAL's grand vision continues to be an important global customer of Safilo and one of the very few that we have with global reach. Therefore, as part of this strategic choice of differentiated global account management that I mentioned before and that will benefit all our biggest integrated customers, we do expect a further evolution in our joint business planning, scorecarding and progress also with grand vision. In terms of the inventories, Vincenzo, I don't...
There is nothing special to mention. It is an ordinary customer. They have their own inventory based on balance between sell-in and sell-out, but nothing special to mention.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Domenico Gilotti of Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and first of all, welcome to Ms. Delgado, and then I have three questions for Vincenzo. First of all, price mix. You were mentioning, if I understood properly, that half of the growth, organic growth in Q3 was coming from price mix. So it means mid to high single digit price mix, and this is surprising, and so if you can elaborate a little bit on this contribution. Second question is on the net working capital, so a strong improvement. If you can elaborate a little bit also on this issue, in particular if you can give us a sense of what is driving the working capital down in terms of payables, receivables or inventories. And third question is more the outlook for Q4. You had a double-digit, basically, organic growth trend in the first 9 months. If you can give us the feeling, the sense, what's going on in Q4.
Okay, thank you, Domenico. With reference to the price mix, as a matter of fact, it is more mix than price. We have had some price adjustments, but most of the difference is depending on mix. We have had a mix improvement in terms of brand mix and product mix, okay, with some upside within the brands and with a better brand brand mix and channel mix. In terms of net working capital, let me say it is a function of both slightly lower DSO, so improvement in terms of receivables, and even more in terms of inventory. And inventory, the improvement in inventory management has had also another impact, direct impact on our P&L in terms of lower obsolescence. So let me say, you asked me to elaborate a little bit. This is depending overall and generally speaking on a better planning and matching between commercial requirements and sourcing and manufacturing. Q4 organic performance, I would say that the third quarter has been the performance has been very, very good, 17%, so it's more than double digit, but on the 9 months we have at plus 10% performance. And let me say that the target for Q4 would be to stick to this plus 10%. We are now experiencing in these days mid-single-digit performance. We will see how we perform by year-end. But, of course, that's plus 70% that we have experienced in the third quarter. We don't see that. Yep. As a sustainable rate in Q4.
Yeah, sure. That's why I was referring to 9 months. Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Andrea Bonfa from Banca Aglietti. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening to everybody. My question are have been partly answered, but I would like to know, let's say, Mrs. Delgado's view on the potential in terms of additional sales of the in-house brands. In particular, I'm referring to Polaroid and Carrera, because I definitely agree with your view that they are underexploited. So if you just give us, let's say, your view on the potential of your in-house brands. Thank you very much.
It would be premature for me to come forward with specific numbers, but if you look at the brands we have, you look at where they are distributed and how they are marketed, I think it would be fair to say that we would see over time a potential to double our business in our house brand. The question, of course, is how fast and what it takes to do that, given that clearly investments will be required in order to realize this potential. I hope this answers the question as best as possible at this point in time.
That's perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is a follow-up question from Domenico Girotti of Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have a couple of additional questions. The first is related on the impact of Forex on the profitability. So if you have an even broad indication on what was the dilution due to Forex in Q3 on your margins. And the other question is related to the situation in Italy compared to Europe. You were mentioning that Italy was weaker than Spain, so was weaker than other peripheral countries. So if you can, if you see some company-specific issues on this, or just a weak macro condition.
Okay. In terms of exchange rate, I mean, on the top line, it is about year-on-year, 10 million euro in the quarter, and in terms of margin, it is marginal. Less than 1 million euro because of the natural hedge that we have among the different currencies. With reference to the second question is about
Italy. Italy was particularly weak, so probably the only weak spot in Europe in your comments.
Yes, we still see Italy as a whole, as a market, as a weak market, which continues to be weak. Italy, of course, is more sun than prescription frames, and the sun business is still weak in the market. We are experiencing positive growth rates with key accounts, but independents, small opticians, and on that channel is still weak. We don't see a recovery yet in that specific channel in Italy. While outside Italy, even in Spain and Portugal, we are seeing some signs of a recovery. While Nordic Europe, let me say, but UK, even France, Germany, Nordic countries, key accounts in those areas, we are experiencing great there. So Europe is a very diversified environment from that respect.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is, again, a follow-up question from Basil Shugari of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I just have one follow-up on your strategy. I get all the work you're doing on your organic business. Should we conclude from that the focus is going to be increasing capacity utilization and focusing on existing brands? Or you still consider buying additional in-house brand to your portfolio? Thank you.
I think that everything is open, but I wouldn't want to comment on anything specific as regarding acquisition of further house brands. I think it would be premature and at this point in time.
Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have no further questions at this time. I would now like to hand the call back to Ms. Delgado for any closing or additional remarks.
I want to thank you for your time and for your engaging questions, and we look forward to further opportunities to engage. Thank you very much, and good evening.